Continuing, the contemporary, now global Westphalian system, what colloquially is called the world community, has striven to curtail the anarchical nature of the world with an extensive network of international legal and organizational structures designed to foster open trade and a stable international financial system, establish accepted principles, and just a quick interjection, it is because of these multiple converging economic and environmental crises, and the fact that power knows that the kind of stability that he's talking about, which was never a reality in the first place, is gonna have to go. They are trying to accustom us on right, on left, and all points in between to the need for the big men stepping in, taking in hand our needs, you know, taking the lead, directing things. And I'm sure they won't use such an indelicate word as dictator. So this stable international financial system under terms of consuming the resources of the planet is not going to feel so stable anymore. So this supposed, you know, this Westphalian system, open trade, stable financial system, establish accepted principles of resolving international disputes. Yeah, right. And set limits on the conduct of wars when they do occur. And then Kissinger concludes by this, in this quote, by saying, "This system of states now encompasses every culture and region. Its institutions have provided the neutral framework for the interactions of diverse societies, to a large extent independent of their respective values." And that's Henry Kissinger from World Order, which came out in 2014. And this, I think, is where the question we ended with last week's show comes in, along with Popper's explanation of Hegel's philosophy of identity, which we discussed in our December 7, 2014 show, in which we said that that power really likes this Heraclitean notion of the unity of opposites. It's always been their fantasy that we will just dissolve into them as they lead us into perfection. What we saw the uses to which philosophy has been put across the ages of class, beginning, as we saw, with Heraclitus, who believed or wanted subjugated peoples to believe. You can never be sure, as Popper shows us with Plato, the level of honesty versus disingenuousness in the stuff we read from these ancient texts. But this notion that we get from Heraclitus that all opposites, i.e. we the people and power, share a fundamental unity, an interest in common. And that con has been maintained by Rule consistently to this day, when it appears in a now recurring notion of world order. The question we asked last week was, which side, who forms the other in this struggle, power versus us? Who's determinative? Who's reactive? We asked this in response to our trio, saying that the structural transformations of the world system, which they will view in these three aspects: the widening and deepening of stateness, the expansion of ruler interlinkages globally, and then our, we the peoples, global interrelations mirroring those of our states' global interrelations, i.e. our identification with our so-called masters, Marcuse's democratic introjection. My point is that When trends, the reflection of actual material reality, are viewed with the lens, keep the cattle herded, instead of the inner logic of accumulation, these questions answer themselves, i.e. our resistance to what cannot be denied is a tightening global vise, only shows power where to make adjustments. And the work of our three, based as it is in honesty, heart, and reality, was clearly to power, worrying, and to massage troubled minds among the designated future managers they commissioned Hart and Negri. Our trio here are misseeing. They have reality on its head. We the people aren't leading anything. We are being led. All this is so obvious once we're able to sit back and look at it. The question is, what are we going to do about it?